Well, let's get our Bibles, and if you would, let's turn to the text we had this morning, Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to look at verses 14 and 15 again. We're going to start there, and the title of the sermon is Affirm Your Faith. This will be part two. Now, to affirm something, as we defined this morning, the dictionary definition is to state or assert positively, maintain as true. Now, there are going to be times in our lives, if we're Christians, if we believe in God, that we need to state or assert in a positive way, according to the definition, our faith. We need to maintain it as true. We need to do it not negatively, but positively. Now, let me give you an illustration. If someone at work asks you to do something that goes against your ethical beliefs in Christ, it goes against biblical teaching. You can tell them, well, I can't do that. I'm not in a position to do that. I can't do that because of my religious convictions or because of what the Bible teaches, and I take the Bible seriously. You can offer some kind of a positive affirmation like that that's really not offensive, and it lets them know why it is that you don't want to go along with what they do because it violates your beliefs about something, about the Word of God. And so you need to be able to affirm that. Now here in Joshua 24, now Joshua is speaking here as a farewell message to people who believe in God, and he's known these people for years, so he speaks a little more bluntly with them, just as I speak a little more bluntly with you than I do those who are outside or those who may not know a lot about the Word of God. Now look at verse 14. Let's just look at this again and notice what I've just said about speaking positively or affirming positively, and make sure you know there's a difference between affirming positively to people you know in Christ or you who have faith in the Word of God and those who may not have that faith, and they may be sort of of the world, but nevertheless, you need to give an explanation to them as to what you believe and why you don't do certain things or why you do certain things. So let's look at how Joshua does it here in verse 14. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord." We noticed this morning that although Joshua was faithful, there were a lot of folks in that congregation in Israel that were not faithful. And they were drawn to one side or the other, and they were conflicted in what they believe. Now look at verse 15. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And that's the key phrase right there. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And if you would, make sure that is underlined in your Bible, because this is a great text. It's one that you need to go back to again and again, sometime in the future. Sometime you may be looking for this. If it's underlined, well, you're going to find it. Because this is the way that Joshua affirms his faith. And it's a positive statement of his faith to an audience that was conflicted in whether or not they really believed like Joshua did. A lot of them had these idols. And maybe some of them just had idols in their hearts. But they had these idols and they were clinging to them in addition to the Word of God and serving God. And so he warns them there. Now, as I mentioned this morning, there are two speeches here in Joshua's closing days of life. And one is in chapter 23 and one's in chapter 24. There are two farewell messages. Now, in these messages, Joshua articulates how he affirms his faith in the details of it. And what I'm going to do tonight is we're going to look at how Joshua actually does this. And maybe we can learn some things. Now remember now, he's speaking to people, men and women who are men and women of faith and who should know more about the Word of God than, let's say, outsiders. And so it's like us, you know, we need to be sure we know who our audience is. And before we say certain things, and then we need to formulate our affirmation based upon those who hear. All right, the first thing he says that I want you to look at is beginning in verse 3 of chapter 23. So let's go back a chapter, and we'll look at his first farewell address. And Joshua tells the folks, in affirming his faith, he says, one thing you need to do, and we all need to do, is not forget. We need to remember what God has done for us. And likewise today, we also need to be men and women of faith who remember the good things God has done for us, and we can learn those things by studying His Word. But look at verse 3. He says, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord has done to all these nations for your sake, and it was the Lord who fought for you." So he says, remember, you've seen what's happened here, and it was God that fought for you. Now, even though God fought for them, they still had to go in there and do battle, didn't they? And you remember, God gave them the land, but then he said, well, you got to go in there and take it. But nevertheless, I've given it to you. And that's the kind of way God deals with his people, because he always asks his people to act on their faith. Faith without works is dead, says James chapter 2. So verse 4, remember. Now you need to underline that, because this is what he's asking them to do in verse 3. Now he says, you need to remember some things. And then he goes ahead and discusses some things. I heard a story about a forgetful husband one time. And I know, you know, most of you men, you're like I am. You forget some of these important dates and you get confused. And well, anyway, this guy, he had been in trouble before about remembering certain anniversaries and certain birthdays and so forth. And so he wanted to make sure this year that he remembered his wife's anniversary. It was coming up here in just a few weeks. And you know, when they got married, the anniversary of their wedding and so forth. And so what he did, he made a deal with a florist. He said, what we're going to do is I'm going to pay you so much. And then when my wife's anniversary comes up in our marriage, I want you to send her some flowers just in case I forget. So I won't have to worry about forgetting, because you're going to send them, and you're going to send a little note from your loving husband. And then it will have his name on it. And so sure enough, that worked out real fine. And you know, and he remembered, and he said, yeah, he saw the flowers, and he knew that he had made that arrangement and so on. But he also made arrangement for the next year. And then the next year rolled around, and sure enough, the florist sent flowers to his wife on their anniversary, and had the little note attached from your loving husband. So he comes in from work and he says, well, look at those beautiful flowers. I wonder who sent those to you. I wonder, well, what's the special occasion? So he had forgotten that he had asked the florist, you see, to send those flowers every year. So sometimes we're like that with God. We just kind of forget what God has done for us, or we forget what God says in His Word, and we don't take a lot of this stuff seriously. It's easy for us to take for granted so many things in the church today. God's plan of salvation, how we're to worship, how we're to be faithful, the application of the gospel, and so on. So the first thing we can do in affirming our faith is to remember our faith, as Joshua does it here in chapter 23. The second thing is found in chapter 23, verse 11, and beginning, and that is we're not to have any compromises with our with our faith. So he says in verse 11, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. To be very careful to do this, to love. You remember, Jesus defines love for us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. And Joshua is saying, be careful to do this. So that, I would argue that he's talking here about reminding them that if they love God, they will keep his commandments. And so he says, be very careful about that. And then he has one of these if-then statements. And you find a lot of these in the Bible. I'm going to show you a statement like this in verse 12. These are conditional statements. Now in the NIV it has, but if you turn away. So notice that, circle that little word if. And then go down to verse 13, and then verse 13 starts out, then. Well, you need to circle then. So that's what we call an if-then statement. So if it is the case that you do this, then God will bless you. If it is the case that you don't do this, then God will not bless you. And so that's a general principle that's stated right here. To affirm our faith, we need to recognize that, the if-then statements of the Bible. Well, in this case specifically, what does he say? But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, see, they weren't supposed to do that. Then, verse 13, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. So this is the conditional nature of salvation. Now, once we're saved, does not mean that we've punched our ticket and we have nothing else to worry about, because God expects us to be faithful in our Christian walk. And he's always expected that of his people. So to affirm your faith, you need to realize that if it is the case that God has saved you, then you have certain obligations in your life that you need to fulfill. These are the then statements of the world. Now, in the Bible, this doesn't affect us because we're not going to intermarry with the Canaanites because we don't even know who the Canaanites are. And some of these things that he says here are things that that do not apply to us. But there are things that do apply to us, and we need to be concerned about those things. Look down at verse 16. He says, if, here's another conditional statement, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land that he has given you. So we are to be concerned, or the Israelites were to be concerned about their own nation and how the nation prospered, because it will affect the lives of the people. Now, I would encourage you to also think about our own nation. And you might want to mention our own nation in your prayers to the Heavenly Father, because if our nation goes down the tubes, it's going to negatively affect the church, will it not? So regardless of who is president or who is running things, or the Congress, who's elected in Congress and so forth, we need to pray to God about our nation. And maybe we think our leaders don't know what they're doing, and they may not know what they're doing. But we still need to pray that, Lord, would you deliver this nation from evil? That is, evil circumstances and evil times. Would you deliver this nation from our enemies, those that seek to harm us? Because if our enemies attack us, then that's going to negatively impact the church. So we want to make a positive impact on this nation, just like the Israelites were to have a positive impact on their nation, because that's a theocracy there. We don't live in a theocracy, but they did. And so he's telling them that if they don't live up to their end of the bargain here, then the nation will suffer. As a nation, they will suffer. And so he's warning them concerning those things. So do not compromise. Now go down to chapter 23, I'll go back up to verse 6 of chapter 23. He says, be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Now, you ought to underline that. Without turning aside to the right or to the left. That means you don't compromise. That means you go on the straight and narrow way. I've heard that preached when I was a youngster. You know, the straight and the narrow way. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 7 in the New Testament, where Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So you ought to write in the margins of your Bible, right next to verse 6 of Joshua 23, write Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. And the next time you read Joshua 23 and verse 6, you'll remember this sermon, and you'll remember also the words of the Lord about the narrow gate and the narrow way in the Gospels, and how there's a continuity here. God always expects us to respond in this way. So don't forget and don't compromise. And then thirdly, he says here in verse 16 of chapter 24. Now let's go to chapter 24. And we're going to have the third point, which is to remember that God is a jealous God. For our God is a jealous God. Well, let's look and see what he says about this. Beginning in verse 16. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now this is the people's response. Now, I don't know that we have a response there in chapter 23, but here the congregation responds, and they say, well, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. Well, you can read about that earlier in the book of Exodus and so on. He says he protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. In verse 18, then the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. And we too will serve the land because he is our God. And then Joshua says to the people, so they make this commitment. Now Joshua is going to make a point about their commitment they just made. Then Joshua says to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. That is, you don't realize some things about God. First, he's holy. There is nothing evil in God, and his holiness will eliminate all sin. And you need to be careful because you're not clean. You're not free from sin. But also you need to remember that God is a very jealous God. Now, jealousy here is in a good sense. The English dictionary defines jealousy as intolerant of rivalry or unfaithfulness. And that's a real good sense in which Joshua is speaking here to the Israelites about their relationship with God. God, the God that we worship, is intolerant of competition. And so what do you have now among the Israelites is you have some ambivalence. That is, you have people who held on to their gods, their idols, and yet they also wanted to worship the true God. And so not everybody was on board. And so there was a little ambivalence in their feelings and their beliefs going on here. And so he's reminding them that now God will not tolerate this because he is jealous of you. You see, we're to be jealous. There's a good sense in which you're to be jealous of your spouse. For example, you husbands and wives, you ought to have the kind of marriage that causes you to be jealous. They're supposed to be the only person for you. And you don't want anybody else trying to break up your marriage. That's what marriage is. It's a commitment that two people make to each other. And so we have that jealousy within certain relationships that's really a healthy thing. I mean, you don't want to be married to someone that they're totally indifferent towards you. You know, you want to have this. Well, in our relationship with God, God is a jealous God. He will not tolerate our wandering off. And in fact, the Bible even calls it committing adultery in certain places. It's an example of a violation of the covenant that we're to have with God in a spiritual sense, in a religious sense. So he says in verse 19 that you're going to have some problems here because, first of all, God's holy, and he's also a jealous God. You don't realize this, but he is. And then he says he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins because Joshua anticipated they're going to rebel. Sure enough, they did. Verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. Now, Joshua's not saying that, well, there's no hope for you, you're evil people, I'm upset with you, I'm angry with you. No, he's just, this is a matter of fact. And this is why I like his statement there in chapter 24 when he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, that's a real positive way to affirm his faith. Now this is the explanation of his affirmation back here that we're reading earlier in chapter 24. And so he says in verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. You know, the Lord's been good to our nation, has he not? We have been blessed so much just by living in this great land. And I'm glad that I live in a nation where they don't build walls to keep the people in. We build fences and walls on our borders to keep people out. We don't build them to keep people in. And I always recognize that communism was a system of government that built walls around their nations in order to keep their people in because their people will leave. They're so upset with what's going on. See, we don't live in a nation like that. And so, in reason, it is because God has blessed this nation and we have prospered. And brothers, we need to be thankful to God that this has happened. So remember in your prayer life to thank God, first of all, that you were born in this great nation, where you have the freedoms that you enjoy. You know, so few people in the world enjoy the freedoms that you do. So thank God that you were born here, but also ask God to bless this nation, to deliver us from our enemies, to deliver us from evil times and hardships. And for the sake of the church, ask the Lord to bless this nation, because as this nation prospers, then the church can prosper. And so that's what, of course, we would like to see. And so the response then is in verse 21. He says, but the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. So he'd gotten them on board so far, and would to God that they had followed through on this. But we learn later on that the Israelites were pretty faithful throughout the life of Joshua and also the elders that outlived Joshua. But then in Judges it tells us that when those elders passed away, they had a void of leadership, a vacuum, and a faithful leadership. And as a result, the Israelites sinned. And so the book of Judges then is a record of that sin. And what they would do is they would sin and they would reach a low point because God would allow the enemies just to come in and put them in hardship and in bondage. And then all of a sudden they'd repent and cry out to God, and then God would send them a deliverer, and then they'd be on a high point again, and God would bless them. And no sooner had God blessed them, they started back down on the decline again. And so that's sort of the up and down motion of the history of the Israelites in the book of Judges, and it was because of a failure of leadership. And finally tonight, I want to mention to you Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23. Here is Moses. Now this would be sometime before you know, this probably 50 years or so before the events that we have here. And Moses says, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. Notice this, a jealous God. You know, we have the same thing, the same text quoted in the book of Hebrews, don't we? The same text, for God is our God is a consuming fire. That is, God consumes wickedness and evil. That's why we need a Savior in Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to respond to the invitation, if somehow we can help you in obeying the gospel, of course, we'd be willing to do that and happy to do that. As together we stand, and as we sing this song, please come.